You're listening to episode 23. Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. This is the podcast all about pouring the labor, care, and study into the roles that God has given us as wives, moms, women, and His children. It is meant to inspire us to be living with passion, intention, beauty, and delight in the everyday moments right where we're at. I'm your hostess, Mackenzie Monroe from boldturquoise.com and cultivatingthelovely.com, and occasionally I pop on Periscope these days with the Cultivating the Lovely show. I hope to be doing that a little bit more in the future weeks. We have been struggling with sickness and trying to get back on our feet, but I think it again is in my sights to be getting back on Periscope, and I'm very excited about it. In this show, however, I want to introduce you guys, if you don't know her already, to Brandi Bentzel. I am so excited for this episode. We recorded it months and months ago, but it's so much fun because we're talking about mother culture and what that means, and we'll talk about it more in the podcast episode, but it's just your own learning as a mom and what you're investing in and how you're developing your own mind and how that can benefit our children. And so we are going to dive into that in this episode, and then in actually our next episode, I will be talking about my own views on books and my favorite ones from last year and what I'm planning on reading this year. So that's what you can be looking forward to at the end of the month. And I also wanted to make a quick plug for the Heart and Hand Challenge. We have continued it into the new year. We've taken on a little bit different of a format. So if you aren't familiar with what the Heart and Hand Challenge is, it's a scripture writing challenge. But this time, I've actually put out the entire first quarter's verses, and we are just walking straight through the book of 2 Peter, which is really fun because it allows for deeper study and just has that ability to give you the continuity that just picking random verses doesn't. And we also have the weekends off, so you have some time with family and you have time to catch up if you miss some during the week. So be sure that you check that out at boldturquoise.com/HHC2Peter. So that is where you can get the direct link to the download for the bookmarks and all of that fun stuff. But without further ado, let's just jump into this conversation with Brandi Bentzel. Hi, Brandi.
Hi, good to hear from you.
Yes, I am so excited to have you on. I think I've told you that yours is one of the blogs that I actually open the emails from. I subscribe to so many, but you know, you just get so many coming in that you don't really keep up with them. But when yours comes through, it's one of them that I always know is going to be high quality, and I'm going to appreciate what's in there, and so I always open it up.
Thank you.
You do such a good job. So I'm really excited to be sharing you with my listeners today because I think they are going to love you, and especially the topic that we're talking about today.
I am definitely excited about this topic.
Yes. So would you like to introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself, where people can find you online, and all that good stuff?
Sure. I am Brandi Bentzel, and I guess the main place you can find me online is afterthoughtsblog.net. That's my main blog. But then I also run scalaisisters.com, which is the home mainly of our podcast. We do have a forum on it also for our listeners.
Oh, fun.
And then I also I have my little side gig.
Yeah.
I have a slight phonics obsession, and so
yes.
I wrote a phonics curriculum for using just the Bob books, but to actually teach the phonics rules.
Mm-hmm.
And so that website is called Teaching Reading with Bob Books. And the web address is teachingwithbob.com. So those are my three haunts, I guess you could call them. I have four kids and one husband.
That's good to know.
Yeah. I know you were worried. So
yeah.
I thought I'd say that. So my kids are, well, I'll just go by grades.
Okay.
So they are second grade, fourth grade, sixth grade, and then freshman in high school this
year. Wow. Big new territory that you're covering.
It is. Yeah. High school's a whole new ball game.
Yeah.
Learning.
Yes. Learning for everybody.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Okay.
But I figured out doing the math that this is my first of the next decade of having at least one kid in high school.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
So I might be good at it by the time we're done.
Right? That's the hope for our younger children, that we've gotten enough practice on the older ones.
Right. Exactly.
That's so funny. Okay. Well, with it being the new year, I thought that this would be the perfect time to talk about something that I know you have talked about a lot on your blog, especially this last summer, and that is mother culture. So everyone's in the mode of setting new goals, and I think that mother culture just completely fits in with the main tenets of cultivating the lovely, which are labor, care, and study. And mother culture was coined by Charlotte Mason, but it isn't just for homeschoolers. So for any of you who heard me say Charlotte Mason and you're like, oh, this is a homeschooling podcast, it's not. We have stuff for moms. So would you tell us a little bit about what you think of as what mother culture is?
Yes. Well, I try to define it pretty strictly, actually. Okay. And so Charlotte Mason, she edited this magazine called The Parents Review, and it was a magazine. She said it was a magazine of home training and culture. And someone, we don't really know who it was because the article just says by A, just an initial. That's all.
Funny.
But she wrote the original article on mother culture in the late 1800s.
Wow.
And what she was talking about, it's so funny to read it because it just reminds me that it's always the same for moms. We always have the same struggles, no matter what era of history we are in.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's talking to the mom who feels like she doesn't have time to cultivate her own intellect, her own level of knowledge, to keep growing as a human. And so she's talking about these moms who basically let babyhood take over, and they've used themselves up by the time their children even begin to get to be school age.
Mm-hmm.
So she defines it as 30 minutes a day of reading, and she says to have three different kinds of books. So depending on how used up you are, you actually have different kinds of books to grab. And so she says she always has a stiff book, a moderately easy book, and a novel going, and she takes the one that she feels fit for.
That's a great idea.
Yes. And so I love the article because it's just amazing to me that, I don't know, we think of our day as being, we're so busy, we're so overwhelmed, we're so whatever. And yet they just so were.
Well, when you think about it, I mean, they had so much going on in a different way because they didn't have the modern conveniences that we do. So they were making everything from scratch and, you know, keeping the fire stoked and, you know, all those kinds of things that we don't even think about. Like, we have to go back and read, you know, about Ma Ingalls and everything that she had to do in order to remember, like, oh, they were busy, but just in a different way. And we have these conveniences, but then we've filled our time with other things, like making podcasts.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know, right? We don't fill our time with anything. Well, but speaking, okay, so if we do, though, focus on, because we do have different things that our time is filled with and a different culture than we did back then, although it's still relevant, why do you think it's important for moms today to continue to educate themselves?
I guess my number one reason would just be because we're human, and I think humans are designed to continue to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so continuing to study is to make sure that you're growing intellectually. You know, we would always tell people, you know, you should never stop, you know, exercising.
Yeah.
Or you should never stop eating right. And I think this is just another component of good health.
Yeah.
Really.
I agree. Yeah. I think I started back into like really, really committing myself to reading about a year ago. And I found like, okay, I've been parenting for 10 years. Like, what have I learned in that time? And I heard Sally Clarkson say something about how she wanted to be the most interesting person her kids had ever met and had ever talked to. And the only way that she could do that was, yes, learning more about motherhood and caring for a home and all those things. Like, those we should definitely be learning about too, but learning about other things that have nothing to do with that role and just making sure we're more educated about, you know, history and art and whatever. It makes us better able to even just carry on a conversation with our children.
Oh, it does. In fact, that was one of the points in this mother culture article. She talks about, you know, so now you have these older children and they come to you. And if you've been all used up by babyhood and you haven't been growing, there's not a whole lot of resources for you to draw on as a mom to start interacting with them. And she mentions, you know, the children kind of walking away, kind of shrugging mom off, like what could mom possibly know? Mm-hmm. You know, so it really was also to help cultivate the relationship between the mother and the children as they grow.
Yeah, and I think that is very important. I don't know about your experience, but I know with my mom, and I think it happened with a lot of women in her era, but there was so much like, you are so smart, that she would tell me, and you can do way better than I ever could, and you know way more, like you are so much smarter than I was. And it ended up, I think, kind of backfiring on her, because I now looking back, like, I think, of course, she's very intelligent. But when I was a teenager and I was being told that, I was like, oh, yeah, OK, well, then I know more than my mom.
Right, you know? Girl, I'm way smarter than you.
Now my goal with my kids is like, you will never be smarter than me.
It's a worthy goal.
Yes. So how did you go about developing your own practice of mother culture, and what does it look like for you?
Well, I will honestly say that one of the reasons I got into blogging was because it supported my mother culture, really. Mm-hmm. It gave me a place to kind of process the things that I was trying to read. And so my blog actually started when my 11-year-old daughter was about, I don't know, 9 or 10 months old. Yeah. So it was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But my husband was taking a class and he was reading all these interesting books. And I just thought, you know, I really haven't read much that's interesting since I had my oldest child. Mm-hmm. And so this puts me at, I don't know, 4 years into motherhood probably at this point. I haven't read much. And so for me, blogging was that early support because it just gave me, I don't know what it was about having a place, but once I had just a handful of readers, and it really was just a handful of readers, it was enough for me to feel like, oh, I should show up and write something because somebody's reading this stuff.
Almost and of like course some accountability.
Yes, it really was. It really was. And I feel like over the years, that has still remained true, that I cannot write unless I read. And so it sort of inherently builds reading time into my week. I mean, homeschooling does that also because I'm always trying to keep up with my oldest child and hope that my younger children read the same books.
Yeah.
Please, Lord, please have them read the same books.
That's
But really, I would say, because this started before I was homeschooling, it's definitely been the blogging. And so I, when I think about this for other moms, I don't think it has to be that everybody has to start a blog, but I do think, you know, figuring out where the accountability can come from in your life. Maybe it's joining a book club or just something that kind of helps keep you going when you are kind of not feeling it.
Yeah. And I think also what you hit on about that processing piece, because I know that things stick a lot better for me if I'm able to either take notes or discuss it with someone, or in some way, like, it's here we go, narration. If I can do narration on what I have read, it just, it sinks so much deeper than if I just read through it really quickly or I'm just trying to get through the book. I need that processing piece.
Oh, yeah, that's so true. And I could torture my husband with my narration.
Yeah.
That's why blogging was also healthy. It was actually for the health of my marriage. That
That's funny. So how do you go about choosing what books are going to be involved in what you're reading and all that kind of thing?
Okay, I will say that during the school year, I am mainly reading off of my oldest child's list.
Okay.
Now that he's older, I really don't have a lot of time to do much independent reading. What's helpful is that he's now old enough that his books are really super interesting.
Yeah.
Because they're actually grown-up books.
Yeah.
So, though I will say, I actually enjoyed reading all the kids' books as we were growing up through the years. But in the summer, I try to plan a curriculum for myself, and I share it on my blog, and I do two versions of this. So the first is for what we call mother culture proper. So it's that 30 minutes a day. It's the stiff book, the moderately easy book, and a novel. And I actually divide it into those categories. Okay. And so what's really fun is that, again, it's the accountability thing. I don't know that I would have been consistently doing this each summer, except that I knew that after I did it once, my readers were looking forward to it.
Yeah.
But then once the list is there, it's really easy to follow through. At least for me, it was like making the decisions was the hardest part of the process.
Yes, absolutely. I was thinking about that even last summer when I was doing my homeschool planning. Like, the more I have planned out, the easier it is for me to just stick to what I already figured out and not trying to figure it out as we go.
So true. Yes, so true. And so then I have a second way. So I actually put out two possible, I don't know if you want to call it curriculum, but two possible reading lists.
Okay.
So the Mother Culture one's the first one. And then the second one is based on something else that Charlotte Mason did. So she also had put out something called A Mother's Education Course. And it was I think originally it was a 3-year program. And then later it was a 2-year program. And then World War I pretty much killed the program because the mothers no longer had leisure time. Mm-hmm. They were completely consumed with taking care of their families. But that program did last for a while. And so that program had its own categories. And this was for the mom that was ready to be way more serious about her reading. And so she was ready. I would say, like, for me, I wasn't ready until I was done having babies and my youngest was probably 3 or 4 to move into this next level, because it just, I don't know, when you have sleepless nights, it's just not happening.
Yeah. if it is happening, it's not sticking.
Right, exactly. Yes, my brain was a sieve for so many years.
Yeah.
So she called this her mother's education course. And then for that, she had 4 divisions and it was pretty academic. And in fact, I read something somewhere where she actually thought about renaming it because it even became a way of training governesses and maybe other people that were just involved in the lives of children.
Wow.
Continuing education for teachers. There were a lot more people using the list she discovered than just moms. Hmm. But the areas of study are divinity. And so with that, she meant having kind of a basic theological and biblical knowledge. So there was a lot of focus on understanding the historical background of the Bible. So putting everything in its historical context. There was a little bit about, you know, how to train your children religiously, how to use a catechism, there were different books like that. Mm-hmm. Then the second category was physiology and health. And it really seemed to be like, kind of like nursing, like how to take care of a child, how to promote good health in your child and yourself. And then there was more educational philosophy, moral philosophy. And then there was nature lore and science. And so she had these moms reading books about, I mean, botany and astronomy and geology and all sorts of stuff. And it was, I mean, it was pretty intense. It was worthy, I think, of any, you know, any college course or anything. Yeah. And so every year I try to put out a second list and it's divided into those categories. And I'm usually picking books that I actually either have read or I'm planning to read personally, but they're 9 times out of 10, they're modern books. They're more recent books, but they fall into those 4 categories of divinity, health, philosophy, and science.
So for it being more of like a mother's education course, do you process that on your blog as well? Or do you take notes? Or how do you interact with those books?
I still do a lot of that on my blog. I really do. And it also, lots of times, like some of the books I've picked would be because I'm actually developing a talk for a homeschool conference on that topic. So that is just another way of getting to have a lot of fun with the books, really.
Yeah, totally.
To be perfectly honest. So yeah. So, but yes, most of it comes out on the blog. It really does.
Okay. Well, that's good. We can all benefit from it then. So for moms just getting started with this whole idea, where do you think they should start?
I would definitely say that Mother Culture is to start. So you pick 3 books, like you pick the one really challenging book that you've always wanted to read, and you pick the one that's kind of in the middle, and you pick the novel that you can read even when you're pretty tired, and you put them on your bedside table.
Yes.
And you do 30 minutes a day in whichever book you can handle. And if you never get to the really hard one, it's okay.
Yeah. Now, do you think it's imperative that 30 minutes be all in one chunk?
I really don't.
Okay.
I really don't. In fact, I recently, just this past year, I started doing this thing where I decided I had wanted to read the Church Fathers for a very long time. And I had always been waiting until I felt like I had enough time. Mm-hmm. Because I felt like, oh, they're so important and fancy that I should give them a full half hour at one time.
Yeah.
And I realized that it was just never going to happen.
Yeah.
Because life with high school, everything just speeds up. It's not slowing down.
Yeah.
And so I decided I'm just going to read 10 minutes a day. And so for that, I guess that is a bit of personal reading that I continue on my own, even during the school year. So in the morning, after I read my Bible, I read my 10 minutes of whatever church father I'm working on at the time. And, you know, I actually feel like, because it is such a quote unquote stiff book or hard book, that 10 minutes is about how long I can take in ideas before my brain starts to wander off.
Yeah.
And so it's been amazing, because if I'm consistent and I'm able to do it 6 days a week, then by the end of the week, I've actually put in an hour in that book, which is quite a lot of time. So I'm kind of I'm becoming a small bites person, where I just don't think that we necessarily, I don't know, like I almost think sometimes when we talk about the processing, right, that taking that 10 minutes and having some really interesting ideas in my mind to think about, well, then next time I'm going to go, let's say, fold laundry or make dinner or whatever. Like lots of times I'm folding laundry and my kids are all outside playing. And so I'm completely alone.
Yeah.
And it actually gives me time to mentally go over it. And it's kind of food for my brain while I'm working on some menial task. And it works out really well. So yeah, I would say, you know, I don't know that I would read less than 10 minutes, just because it seems like it takes about 10 minutes to get through a whole idea in a book or a whole chapter or a whole section or whatever. But I think easily it could be done, you know, like if you're nursing.
Yes, that's exactly minutes. What I was going to say.
Yeah.
And for that, I found it's so beneficial that I have either an ebook copy also to a hard book that I have, or I just have the ebook, because even just on my phone, I found I always have it with me. And especially if you're just reading like a novel, where you maybe can get away with a little less than the 10 minutes, because it's lighter fare. You know, if I just always have that with me, and even for the bigger ideas books, if I'm, you know, nursing in the morning, and then I kind of have a little while to process whatever I read. And then if I pick it back up again throughout the day, then it kind of brings it afresh in my mind. And I've been able to think about what I read in the morning. And I really do get more read if I just let myself have those snippets of time, instead of, like said, waiting for the chunk that never comes.
Right. Never comes.
Yes.
You guys don't know how you guys don't know how lucky you all are, you younger moms, because, you know, when I first started having children, there was no such thing as a Kindle or a smartphone, any of this e-stuff. And so, you know, you pretty much had to stop reading while nursing once the child was old enough to start wrestling you for the book.
Kicking the book off your lap or whatever.
It's so true. But I think, now that's so convenient. You can just kind of flip it with one finger. And
yes. Or even when I'm nursing, like my youngest down for a nap, it's dark in the room. Like I would have to be juggling with a book light and all of that. Right. But I just have my little phone in my hand, and it's awesome.
That is awesome.
So do you use audiobooks at all, or do you strictly read everything yourself?
I really don't. And that part of that is just because I sort of live in the dark ages. Like I said, all this stuff was invented after I became a mom, and I really don't own much of it. So I have a really ancient Kindle, but I don't have lots of devices in my house. And so I don't know how to do all of that. I always feel dumb because Misty... I'm like, Misty's like the queen of audiobooks, Misty Winkler. And she would totally tell me if I ever wanted to know, but I'm so stuck in my way.
Yeah.
So my kids have audiobooks, but I don't.
I think that one thing that really hooked me into the audiobooks, I mean, I can get it on my phone, which has been, I've always got it with me, but that I could get so many for free from my library was like,
that's awesome.
Okay, I can totally get on board with this, because I'm not even paying for it. Like Audible felt really daunting to me, but the Overdrive app is a miracle.
Oh, I don't think I even really knew about that.
Yeah, there's so many good library apps like Hoopla and Overdrive. And yeah, I love them. I use them all the time.
I think that's great.
Yeah, so Misty and I will get you hooked up.
Yeah, really. I think it'll require an intervention or something.
That's so funny.
A technology intervention.
Yeah. Okay. So we've kind of been talking a little bit about this, like fitting snippets in throughout the day and whatnot. But do you have any more tips for moms with lots of kids, or little ones about practically making mother culture happen in their lives?
Yeah, you know, I feel like one of the things that has become a priority for me over the last, I guess the last 2 years, is learning to take advantage of time that I used to think of as wasted. Mm-hmm. So, for example, for a long time, I was driving my son to youth group, driving back home, not really able to do anything at home because pretty soon I had to leave to go back and get him at youth group. And so what happened was that this year his youth group location moved and it became just far enough away that it became no longer worth it for me to drive all the way back home.
Sure.
So now what I'm doing is I am driving him to youth group. Then I'm heading to the Starbucks that is within 5 minutes of where he is.
Yeah.
And I'm staying there and I'm taking advantage of that time to bring some study stuff with me. And so I get that 90-ish minutes to do that. And so I think sometimes we have bigger chunks available that we don't necessarily see because they're kind of lost in the details of something else that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, like I now I'm noticing, you know, moms that tennis practice. There are some that are very obviously using this for study time. They're taking classes, I think. And so they show up and they've brought their study stuff and they're studying while the kids are playing tennis. And so I think sometimes we can use those chunks that we think are time for the kids actually is time for us.
And now youth group night is your favorite night of the week.
Yeah, really. It's so true.
You have to go to youth group.
I know, really. What do you mean you don't want to go?
You are not sick. You are going to youth group. Okay, so you obviously are fitting in the time to be doing this reading and studying, but is this what you would consider what you do for yourself to keep yourself fed and that wellspring in your life so you're able to keep giving to your family and your different, you know, things that you do online? Or is there something else that you do to take care of yourself?
I would definitely say this is huge. And I think, actually, Misty and I did a podcast on this. I'll have to give you a link, but we talked about the right Scholae for your type, your personality type. And I know you're an MBTI junkie.
Yes.
So
it was Misty's fault too. I know, she got really me all sucked into it.
Serious. I keep telling her, I'm not going to read those books. I'm just going to ask you questions because I'm going to go down that rabbit hole and I'm never going to survive.
Right. It's so true.
Interesting. But one of the things that she has taught me is that people who are, what did she say? INs. So introverted intuitives that basically need the reading time, like the pretty much the only way she could think of for that personality type to refresh was to read. So I think it's more true that reading is restorative for some people than for others. Like, I think it's good for everyone.
Yeah.
But as far as having to make it a priority, I feel like I start to go crazy. Mm-hmm. It's just something about the time to read and write really helps me. Like, I become impatient and I never want to excuse it in my life and say, you know, well, I'm just being impatient because I haven't gotten my time to do, you know, I don't ever want to do that. But at the same time, I've realized it is way easier for me to be patient if I just make sure that I'm maintaining that time and never letting myself get to the point where I'm feeling desperate, like a thirsty person in the desert. So for me, I think that really is the main way. I know Misty would say for other people, you know, like, so I still try to exercise even though I don't like it.
Yeah.
For other people, it may be that like they're trying to study even though they don't really like it, but the exercise is actually restorative for them. Mm-hmm. So I do think there are personality differences.
Yeah. And that's so important. I mean, here we could go off on Myers-Briggs stuff, really. But it is so important for so many different things in your life to know what your personality type is, because it doesn't let you get away with not doing the things that you should do, but you just aren't inclined to. Like, I found it helps me to be like, okay, this isn't my natural bent, so I know I need to put more concerted effort toward that area. But then it also is so helpful to know how you really are able to get that rest and that refreshment so that you can continue to be giving back to others. And if you just are trying to do what the girl next to you is doing, that may not work for you. You need
exactly.
to know what your personality, what works for you.
Yes, I totally agree.
So for moms who are wanting to know more about this whole mother culture idea and kind of like the nitty gritty about it, what are your favorite resources for them to learn more about what mother culture actually is? Like, can they find that article to read, and where would you direct them next?
Yeah, I definitely think reading that article is very enlightening, and it's actually quite short. It's not very long at all. It's especially short considering it was written in the Victorian era.
Yeah.
I can send you a link to it.
Perfect.
If you would like,
yes,
and you can put
we'll
it
put
in
that.
Your show notes.
Yep.
And then I do have a couple posts that I wrote on it. I wrote a
yes.
post specifically on mother culture and another one on the mother's education course talking about. So I can send you some links for that, but
yes,
that's
I've
usually
read both of those. So
oh, have you?
Definitely be directing people to
okay.
those.
So beyond that, I mean, I do try to put out my list. I'm trying to think. I don't know a lot of people who put out these kinds of lists.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know in one of the posts you did, you said something about possibly Ambleside coming on with some sort of mother's education course. Do you think that is going to happen in the future?
Pretty much the reason why it hasn't happened yet is because I'm a procrastinator. Because I'm in charge of that project. I like to call myself the irresponsible person for this project. So we are working on it. Yes. What we're trying to do is, well, sort of like it's a lot like Ambleside in the sense that Ambleside Online was built by going through Charlotte Mason's programs, and then they tried to develop a modern version of a book list that was very, very close to what she was doing. And so they were looking at very specific things in what she did.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to do the same kind of thing for a mother's education course. We're going through and seeing, you know, exactly what she assigned. We have records of this. So for mm-hmm. what she assigned for all 3 years, how she divided up the time, what she expected of these moms, which was amazing what she expected.
Yeah.
And then we're going to try to come out with something that is the same, but uses a lot more modern books. I mean, some books are irreplaceable.
Yeah.
Like she has her moms reading the four dialogues of Socrates, and you're not going to replace that with a modern book.
Yeah.
But a lot of them, you know, like the nursing health books could definitely be updated.
Yeah. Let's
and
hope
we are
so.
All, exactly. And we're also under strict orders from Cindy Rollins not to make it dry.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
So it also has to be very interesting.
Yes.
So we're working on that. I would love for that to come out by summertime, but I think, well, I don't know. I'm not sure that could actually happen.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yes.
But that would be that. Well, maybe 1 year of it. I don't know. I hadn't thought about that. Maybe we could try to do a year at a time and make it more manageable. Sorry. I just had an idea.
Yeah. I love it. I like being privy to the back end of things.
So I have a team, and if you want to pray for us, because the hardest part is just figuring out how to devote time to it when there's so many other things going on for all these moms on the team,
yeah.
including me, but I mean, everybody on it is busy and has a million things going on. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Okay. Well, we but need to be praying pray. For you so we can all benefit from it. Because for anybody who doesn't know, also, everything on Ambleside is free. So
right.
it's a free resource that would be out there, which would be awesome.
Yeah. And this would be exactly the same as Ambleside. We'll just try to link it up to books, and so people can buy them on Kindle, or if they're free, we'll tell people where they're free. And yeah,
that's awesome. I love it. Great. Well, I think that is probably a good place for us to wrap things up. But I
right.
do have some questions that I would love
that's right.
to ask you first. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Candles or essential oil diffuser?
This is so funny. I knew you were going to ask this, but I forgot. So I'm like, I don't know. I think diffuser.
Okay. Cloth napkins or paper?
Paper. Feel guilty, but it's
I know.
True.
It's so funny because there are the people who come on and they're like, heck yeah, paper. I mean, who would use a cloth napkin? And then there's those of us who are like hiding our heads, like hanging them in shame. Paper. Okay. City or country?
I'm like, I want to say country, but my husband would probably kill me. I am a country girl married to a city boy, so we live right on the edge of town.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, is suburbs an option?
Yes, we can make that middle ground. You're country at heart.
I am.
Okay, paper or digital?
Paper.
I kind of thought that might be your answer.
Yeah. I actually, it's horrible, but I forget things when they're digitized.
I really do, too. If it's not, like, physically in front of my face, then
yes,
it disappears.
It's true.
Okay, shopping, online or in-store?
Oh, online.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it's 4 o'clock or whatever time you would be making dinner, and you need a mental break. Do you listen to a podcast or to music?
Podcast.
Okay. What are some of your favorites?
Yours is on that list.
I've asked this to a few people now, and they always say that. And I feel like I need to give this huge disclaimer. I'm not fishing, I swear.
I know you're not, but it's true. It is on my list. Anything by Pam Barnhill is on my list for sure. I'm trying to think. Let's see. I actually really love this. It's called Mortification of Spin. And it's a theology podcast, and it's usually 20 to 30 minutes long. And what I like is that there are three people talking, guys and a woman, and they don't take themselves too seriously, even though it's a theology podcast. So I just love that.
That's fun. That would fit under Cindy Rollins, what she thinks you need to have, like not have it be dry.
Exactly. Yes. And then the Cersei Network, I also love. Yes. Yeah. I'm kind of a podcast junkie. I'm like, I could go on. I probably should stop.
Me too. I think I'm a podcast hoarder. Just like long, long lists. Like I'm never going to make it through these. Okay. Chocolate, milk or dark?
Okay. Milk. I feel like a little kid saying this, but I love milk chocolate.
Okay. Sports or no sports?
No sports.
Okay. Periscope. Would you rather broadcast or watch or not be involved with it at all?
I like to watch.
Okay.
I do. I like to watch. Video makes me nervous. So.
Yeah. What is your favorite movie?
Ooh. Let's think about this. That's a hard one.
It's a broad question.
It really is. Like, I don't know. Goodness. This is really hard. And I feel really lame because the first thing that popped in my head was Thor. I don't think that's actually my favorite movie, but I am such a sucker for Marvel comics movies. It's just not even funny.
The first Avengers. I love like how witty he and Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr. are. Ew. Oh, yes. I really do like the first Avengers.
It's true. It's like, I don't know. It's like candy. I just really,
it does.
I really like them.
Okay, so any other movies that might make it for the favorite there?
Well, I have this, I want to say it's called The Lost City. I always forget the name of it, but it's one that I watch every once in a while. It's actually quite sad, so that's my little warning. But it's about Cuba and the communist takeover in Cuba. And I believe later, one of them actually was of Cuban descent. And anyway, it's just really like socioculturally, it was really interesting. It's like they outlaw the saxophone and it's like it's an attack on the arts is one of the attacks that the communists make on the culture. And anyway, it's really like, I kind of am tempted to make sure I'm getting the name right. Cause like I said, I watch it over and over, but the name is like the least important part. it's artfully done.
Those are good.
Let me see if I'm right. Okay. I'm looking it up. Yes, I am right. The Lost City. There's two movies called The Lost City. It's one of them. Okay. I'm like, I have no idea how to distinguish, except that one looks like it was made in 1935 and the other is more modern. Okay. This is the more modern one.
That's funny.
Anyway.
Okay. If you were to put yourself on the crunchy spectrum, 0 is totally not crunchy and 10 is sitting around the fire with your legs unshaven and dreadlocks in your hair, where would you put yourself?
That's a really hard one. I would say at one point I probably was like a 9.
Yeah.
But now I'm probably more like a 6 or a 7. I would say I'm probably a 6 or 7, somewhere in there now. Part of it's just as life has gotten busier, there are things that used to happen that don't happen anymore.
Yep.
You know, everything from like brewing my own kombucha when my kids were toddlers. I did a lot of that kind of stuff too. I used to raise my own milk.
Wow.
So I had a herd of goats, but when we started heading toward high school, so this is at the end of seventh grade, I just realized I'm not sure I can maintain milking goats twice a day while I'm trying to like get kids to youth group.
Yes.
So yes. I got rid of that. So I feel like that's what makes me less crunchy now is that
you don't milk goats twice a day.
I don't milk goats twice a day anymore. I buy milk at the store, which was kind of shocking to my kids.
Yes. It's funny when you do. I've kind of had some of those things happen, especially over the last year. I don't know if it's been like a four kid thing or what, but there's some things that have just had to give where you're like, I am going to be like have so much mother guilt over cutting this thing, but I just can't do it anymore, or at least not for right now. And it's just got to happen. So,
yeah. Yes.
That crunchy pendulum swings throughout different seasons of our lives. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me today, Brandy. I had so much fun.
Oh, thank you. You're a joy to talk to. You really are.
Oh, thank you. It was just so interesting, and you've always got such great information. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, we'll talk again soon.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
So that's it for this week's episode of Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. As always, you can hop on over to the blog to find today's show notes, which is just at boldturquoise.com/23. And like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I would love to have you join me at the end of the month when we're talking all about my reading goals and what I read last year and what I'm looking forward to in 2017. So until then, ladies, go be bold and gracious.